Well, let's have prayer and let's go through the Christmas story. I think it's important that you understand it, try to teach you some things, ask you some questions. Some of you have heard this before, but maybe you'll learn something new. Songwriter wrote a song and said, I love to hear the story, the old, old story. So it never gets old to be able to do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you now in this moment. God, we come to recognize who you are. Once a person recognizes who you are, then we realize our own position in our own selves. And we realize that to you is due all the honor and all the glory, all the power, and due our worship. If we're going to worship you, that means we must know you. We know you through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know salvation in him. My prayer is that each of our students, God, would know Christ. I pray that they're saved. I pray if there be any student that's not saved, that they would think about that this year and this season, about the responsibility they have to humble themselves and receive Christ. Thank you for the Christmas story. God, and the Christmas story is becoming less and less known in the world. There's a passage in the Bible that says there arose a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. So there is a danger of time passing and not teaching the next generations. So we have the opportunity today to teach the next generation the Christmas story. I pray that you would just captivate us. I pray that we would have our eyes upon Christ, our hearts open. And Father, that you would just enable us to know the blessing of that wonderful, wonderful night when a child was born and a son was given. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Whenever you begin to read the Christmas story, you have to go to the book of Luke. And I don't expect you necessarily to find that. You can. Luke chapter number 1 will be where I will begin reading. Luke chapter 1. If you don't know how to find it, you just listen. We'll begin reading in verse number 26. Verse number 26. The Bible says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. What is the sixth month of our calendar year? June. Who was born in the month of June? Okay, that's a pretty good crowd. In the Christmas story, when the Christmas story opens up and it talks about in the sixth month, does anybody know in the sixth month what they're referring to there? Nobody knows what in the sixth month what they're referring to? Allie? When somebody's about to be born, yes. There was a man that was prophesied to be the forerunner of Jesus. There was a man that when he was born, he was a very rough man. He lived out in the desert in the wilderness. The Bible said that he wore camel's hair and that he ate wild honey and locusts. John. But he had another name because he did something. John the Baptist. But you didn't raise your hand, but I'm going to give it to you. John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was prophesied all the way back in the Old Testament that he would arrive on the scene before the Lord Jesus. And that John the Baptist had a certain message that he preached. Does anybody know the message that he preached? Yeah, but he had an announcement. Repent. Repent. And he would say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And John the Baptist was prophesied that he would come and he would present and the Lord Jesus. In verse number 26 of Luke chapter 1, John the Baptist is 6 months in his mother Elizabeth's womb. Now, you remember Elizabeth couldn't have children, but God enabled her to have a child. And so John the Baptist is in the womb, and Gabriel is the angel that God sends to make the Christmas announcement. Now, by the way, Gabriel is mentioned in another book of the Bible. Anybody know in the Old Testament? If you were listening to me on Sunday, I went there, we preached it, we said that Gabriel appeared to one of the great prophets. He was in the lion's den. Daniel. The same Gabriel that comes to Mary, God sent to Daniel way back then to make a prophecy of when Messiah would come. The Bible says in verse number 27 that he came to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. A virgin is a very important word in the Christmas story. A virgin is a woman who has never been married. She's never had the joy and the privilege and the intimacy of being married. And she was espoused to Joseph. Now there's three ways that they were married, or three steps to their marriage back then. Nowadays, a boy meets a girl, and they date, and then the boy gets up enough courage to ask that girl to marry him, or vice versa. The girl gets enough courage to ask the boy. And then the boy goes to the jewelry shop, and he picks out a ring. I remember doing that. I was never so nervous in all my life. And there was a woman that was helping me that looked like my mother. It's hard to pick out a ring for your I guess at that time would have been girlfriend, soon to be in fiance, with your mother. And I remember jewelry stores made me nervous because, I don't know, guys don't like jewelry stores. And so I go in there, and that lady hands me this little eyeglass thing. And she says, hey, Mr. Hunter, look at this diamond. It's beautiful and it's sparkling. And you're supposed to be able to see through. I couldn't see anything. It was black and I was looking around. And she's like, look at the ring. I'm, oh, yeah, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Do you see what I see? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Great. I'll take that one. And so I ended up with that one. And then you come home, and I was real sneaky when I asked Miss Bev to marry me. I was a little bit romantic. Now, don't freak out. We went to a Mexican restaurant. I would not advise that, guys. And I was telling her, because she was going to stay home, and I had to go back to college, and I was going to graduate. And I was telling her, oh, I just don't know. We're not going to be able to get married until maybe another year or so, or 2 years. And I don't have any money, and we got to get a job, and this and that. And I was just laying it on thick. I wasn't lying, but I was, what do you call it? Pretending. Yeah, I was pretending. And the whole time, I had the ring, and I had already bought it, and it was in my pocket. And then I had bought this little teddy bear, and it had like a little wrap that went around the neck. And so I untied that, and I tied the ring on the back of that little teddy bear. And what? A camera? No, when I was that age, we didn't have cameras. They weren't invented yet. Cameras weren't in every part of your body and in your watch. I wasn't doing this number. And then we went for a walk down by some river. I can't remember. And then she sat on the bench. And then all of a sudden, I began to feel that Mexican food. And I was nervous. And I thought, oh, I can't get sick right now, man, whatever. And so I remember I got down on one knee, and then she realized what was happening, and she said yes. First thing she said was, she looked at the diamond, she said, is it real? I said, yeah, it's real. She said, where did you get it from? And I said, Myers. Now, I had bought the ring from a place in the mall called Myers Jewelers. Like, every kiss begins with? Okay. So, or Zales, but we didn't have K, and we may have had Zales, but no, we didn't have the opportunity to go to Jared's. You know, I went to Jared's the other day. I walked in, I looked at the prices, and I left Jared's. So we had another store in our community, which was called Myers Thrifty something. It was like a Kmart. Yeah, you don't know what a Kmart is, do you? Walmart, a little less than a Walmart. And maybe like a Big Lots. Do you know what a Big Lots is? Yeah, okay. So when I told Miss Bev that I bought the ring at Myers, she got this vision of Big Lots. And all the joy went out of her face. And because we didn't have malls. We lived like 30 minutes from the closest McDonald's. Miss Beverly didn't go to a mall until she moved down here. So she didn't know that they had Myers in the mall. Anyway, we got engaged. In the Bible days, you had an engagement and a spousal, and then you had a wedding. So Mary and Joseph, they had met and they had realized that they wanted to get married. And somewhere along that process, Joseph had said to Mary, I want to marry you. And Mary had said to him, okay, that's the stage in which they are in. That's when the angel comes. Now, let's keep reading. Verse number 27. To a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. He was of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, why was it important that we would know what house that Joseph came from? Because there was a prophecy that he would be born. Do you remember Abraham in the Bible? And you remember David in the Bible? Abraham, when he was an old man, he didn't have any children. And God came to Abraham and said to Abraham, you're going to have a child. You remember that? And Sarah was his wife. And Sarah couldn't have children. And she was like 90-some years old. And she was laughing. And then Sarah said, here, take Hagar. And so Ishmael was born. But that wasn't what God promised. And so later God gave them Isaac, right. And God came to Abraham and God said, now, Abraham, through you, all of the earth is going to be blessed. And then that was a prophecy that Jesus was coming. And then God came later to David and God said, now, David, because you have a heart after me, there will always be somebody sitting on your throne forever. Forever is how long?
Eternity.
Eternity, forever. So it was important that the Messiah would be coming through the promised way that Jesus said. By the way, everything Jesus promises comes true. So, if you know Jesus as your Savior, you will die and go to? If you reject Jesus as your Savior, you will die and go to? If you dishonor your mom and dad, then you will die early. If you sow rebellion, you will reap. The Bible says if you sow the wind, you'll reap the whirlwind. Everything in the book comes true. Now, when I was your age, I didn't think that was happening. And so we would think that we were above the Bible. We would think that we could do things and God wouldn't know. But I promise you, God knows your very thoughts. God knows what you're thinking right now. That's amazing, isn't it? And so here you have the promise that the Messiah would come through the house of David. Now, verse number 28 says, and the angel came in unto her and said, hail thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name what, class? Jesus. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. There's the promise. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? You're telling me I'm going to have a baby, but I'm not even married yet. How is that possible? And verse 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, verse 38, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Can you imagine? You're just going about your day, and all of a sudden an angel appears in front of you, girls, and says, You're going to have a child. And the child that's going to be born in you is going to be the Son of God. Now, there's a tremendous mistake that's made in our culture. Anybody have a Catholic friend? We have a Catholic friend. The Catholics are very, very much messed up on this point. They do not know the Bible. The Catholic mind says that Mary, not only was she highly favored and blessed, but that she was exalted to a level of deity, which means that she is on the same level as God as Jesus is. The Catholics believe that some things about Mary, that she was kind of a sinless, she didn't need to be saved. They believe that she's a perpetual virgin, which means that she kind of always holds this sanctimonious position. But Mary had a lot of children after Jesus. The Catholics believe that Mary is called the mediator between God and man. And so you got to go through Mary to get to Jesus. And she has some kind of ability to persuade him. But we read in the Bible that there's only one mediator between God and man, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, if you go to the Gospels, one day Jesus is sitting teaching, and Mary and his brothers come to the door, and they want him to come out. And they come to Jesus, and they say, Your mother's over there. And he says, Who's my mother? These are my mother. He didn't even respond to her. And so whenever you see anybody worshiping Mary or praying to Mary, you understand that those people do not understand the Bible. Okay? Don't be persuaded by that. And if you see somebody who has a position of Mary and they light the candles and they do the rosary beads and they do all that, none of that is in the Bible. If it's not in the Bible, you cannot trust it. Okay? So here's Mary, and she's favored, and she's blessed, and she's going to be able to be chosen by God to be able to have the Son of God. Now, once the announcement comes to her, Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, and I won't take the time to go through that, but then you've got to leave the book of Luke, and you've got to go to the book of Matthew to pick up on the Christmas story. So go to Matthew, if you would, chapter number 2. We're coming back to the book of Luke if you wanted to keep something in the book of Luke. Matthew chapter 2. All right. I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 1, verse number 18. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 1, verse number 18, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, that means before they were married, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So, you may have noticed this, and I don't want to make a public example of Mrs. Dunstan, but when a lady is going to have a baby, her body shows that. I'll look this way with the rest of that example. So normally the pastor, and you can tell when a woman is going to have a baby before she has what they call the baby bump. And how do I do that? Because women that are going to have a baby, they rub their bellies. So when I see somebody rubbing their belly at church, I'll go home and I'll tell my wife, I think so-and-so's pregnant. How do you know that? Because they're rubbing their belly. And then pretty soon, I notice that their clothes either get tighter or baggier. And then pretty soon what happens? That belly begins to grow. Well, Joseph and Mary, they were in a stage of their relationship where they had agreed to be married and they had a legal contract, but they had not been able to fulfill all of that marriage. And so pretty soon the baby began to grow in Mary's womb. And Joseph began to see Mary rubbing her belly, and I'm sure that she began to be, you know what they do when they get sick. And he began to see the belly begin, and Joseph said, uh-oh, my wife is going to have a baby. Now, Joseph was a righteous man. He was a good man. And he had not sinned with Mary. But he had some questions. So look, if you would, at verse number 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Now, most of you probably think in A Christmas Story that Joseph was just going to take Mary, stick her in a closet, close the door, and then once the baby was born, open up the door, and then they could come back out. But that's not what the story is. During the espousal part of the marriage, if you realize that all of a sudden things weren't going to work out, or if you realize you didn't love each other the way you thought you loved each other, and so, then you could go to the legal authority, and the legal authority would issue you a writ of divorce, and you could put away the other. So this was the process of time where they were getting to know. It was a legal binding, and it could only be broken by the law, or by a legal note. So Joseph, instead of making Mary a public example, wanted to divorce her privately. Some of you have been through divorce homes. You understand what that's all about. Now, had Joseph taken Mary to the authorities and accused her of having an affair or accused her of cheating, the law said that Mary would have to be what? Stoned. And Joseph didn't want that for Mary. He understood. And so Joseph was going to just say, okay, in my mind he thinks, well, she's been with another man, and so I don't want her anymore. We can't do this, but she's precious and I love her. I don't want to get her killed, so I'm just going to put her away privately. Verse number 20. But while he, what's the next word? Thought on these things. You know, has your teacher ever or your mom and dad ever said to you, you know, you should have thought about that before you said it. You should have thought about that before you did it. There's a lot of truth in that. You know, sometimes you do need to, if you're going to make a big decision, you need to think about what you're going to do. Most of you get in trouble at school because you don't think before you speak. And you just blurt it out and you think, oh, I wish I wouldn't have said that if I'd have just thought a moment. Well, Joseph's first impulse was, I'm getting rid of this woman. But he thought about it. Look what happens while he thinks about it. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the who class? Who put Jesus in the womb of Mary? The Holy Ghost did. How did he do that? Some of you older ones, you understand how a baby is conceived. And you think, how did God do that? Well, God did it miraculously. God just took the Son of God and the Holy Spirit, put him in the womb of Mary. You think about the fascination of that. Jesus Christ is God. He is eternal. He is without end. He is Almighty God. And yet he humbled himself to be small enough to be put in the womb of Mary. And the Holy Ghost did it. He didn't do it sinfully. He didn't do it wickedly. He did it absolutely holy and miraculous. And he put the baby in there. Now, that is so vitally important that you believe in the virgin birth. Somebody tell me why the virgin birth is so important. Morgan. Exactly. Exactly. You've done a great job listening. Who ate the fruit first in the garden? Eve. Eve did. But who did God hold responsible for the sin? Adam. Well, we look at that and say, that's not fair. She did it first. But the Bible says in the New Testament that Eve was deceived. Adam exercised his own rebellious will. Eve, being deceived by the enemy, yes, she did cross the line. But Adam made a choice. And so when Adam said, forget you, I'm doing this, He took us into sin. When Adam sinned, the Bible says that sin entered the earth for the first time in humanity. It came into Adam's nature. And Adam, from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, became a sinner. When children began to be born, you get your blood and you get your nature and you get all of that. You get that seed part of that from the man. And so every child that was ever born from Adam and Eve, by the way, Adam and Eve were born or created? Yeah. So who's really the first person we ever read about in the Bible who was born? Not Adam and Eve. Not Jesus. Cain. Because Adam was made from the dust of the ground. Eve was made from a rib. They come together. A child is born. But a child wasn't born until after he had committed sin. So, some of you in this room are black. Do you know that? Some of you are brown. Some of you are white. Some of you look a color I don't even know. But the world says, well, we have a black race, we have a white race, we have a pink race, we have an Asian race, we have an Indian race, we have this, we have all these races. That is not true. You might be from a different tribe or a different culture, but there's only one race. And can anybody give me the word that describes the only race on the earth? Human. Human race. And so all of us, if we were to go to familytree.com and we started working on it, eventually all of our family tree prior or after the flood would go where? To who? To who? Noah. And then we would, because Noah and his sons and his daughters were the only ones alive after the flood. There was nobody else on the earth. Prior to Noah, you go on this side of the flood, where, if we were to trace it back, where does it go? To Adam. So every one of us, who is our great, 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 your great grandfather? Noah, Adam. So when Adam sinned, all of us carry the seed of Adam, which means every person ever born, red, yellow, black, or white, is a sinner. Now, the reason that Jesus had to become a man and go to the cross and die was because, and the only reason he was allowed to was because he was virgin born. Whose seed does Jesus possess? God. The Holy Ghost put him in the womb. So when Jesus walked upon the earth, he could sin, yes or no? No, he could not sin. There was no sin in him. He did not have a sinful nature. Now, he was tempted in all points like as we are, but he was holy and without sin. And so when Jesus shed his blood, it was pure, I'll get you in a minute, sinless blood. And then that had to be paid for our sin. Now, you know how it worked in the Old Testament, right? In the Old Testament, they built this big tabernacle, and they had one section in the front, and in the back was the Holy of Holies, and that high priest would go in every year. He'd kill that animal. He'd take that hyssop, and he would go in there, and he would put the blood on the mercy seat, and they would find atonement for the year. That was all symbolic about waiting for the Lord Jesus to come and to die and to shed his blood, and then his blood is what purchases our redemption. Let me ask you a question. If Jesus would have died of a heart attack, would he still be the Savior? No. If Jesus would have died in the garden, could you and I be saved? No. If Jesus would have died by a stroke, would we be saved? He had to be sacrificed and his blood had to be shed. So when they stuck him and they pulled it out, the Bible says, what came out of him? Blood and water. The Father saw the blood pour out of his Son. And the father said, payment made. Now, I believe that the Lord Jesus, you remember after he resurrected and Mary saw him, what did Mary want to do? His mother, Mary Magdalene, she wanted to come and she wanted to what? Hug him. And Jesus told her, don't, what? Don't touch me. I've not yet been to the Father. I believe that the blood, as it poured down on somewhere on the foot of that cross, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that Jesus came into the Holy of Holies with his own blood. Somehow he got the blood of his own blood out of that ground. If Jesus could make a man out of the ground, do you not think he could get his own blood out of the ground? And the Bible says that after he resurrected from the dead, prior to when he said, Thomas, touch me, handle me, somewhere he took his own blood, he went into the Holy of Holies, and he went to the Father, and he laid that blood on the mercy seat up there. And that's why you and I can be saved. It's the only reason we can be saved. That's why we can be saved by faith. That's why we say, I believe in the Lord, I come under the blood of Christ, I take him as my Savior, I repent, cleanse me, and I'm under that blood. That's why he had to be virgin born. Keep going. We're almost done. Bible says in verse number 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus, just like the angel said. Now go to Luke chapter 2, and let's read the real familiar part here. Some of you have this memorized. Don't some of you have part of the Christmas story memorized? Some of our class, which ones do? The second grade does. Do they have it from verse number, what verse do they have it from? All right, I'm going to read verses 1 to 7, and then that class is going to quote verses 8 to 14, and we'll read around. All right? So is it first and second grade that knows it? Just second grade. Where are my second graders? Come up here, second graders. You're too sleepy. You need a spanking. These my second graders? Come over here. Come over here. Right here? Right here? All right. Here we go. Listen up. Second grade, when I tell you, you're going to quote it. Verse number 1, I'll read it. The Bible says, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus. Now, Caesar was over Rome. That all the world should be what, class?
Taxed.
And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Somebody tell me why this taxation is important to the Christmas story. They had to move back to their hometown. Micah chapter 5, verse number 2, was prophesied that Jesus would be born where?
Bethlehem.
But Mary's not in Bethlehem. They got to get to Bethlehem. So God put it in the heart of Caesar to make a taxation. And so they went back, and it was fulfilled. Verse number 6. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Second grade. And there...
Savior.
Wonderful. Applaud that. That was great. Word for word. And so you know the Christmas story that night. Now, go back, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 2. Now, when you get to Matthew chapter 2, you're going to run into these wise men. Now, it's important that you understand something. The wise men were not at the stable. They were not there. I know you buy the sets and the wise men are here. And somebody broke the hand on our wise man, and God knows that, and you're going to be punished for that. It may not be you, but somebody in this church did it. The wise men show up in Bethlehem somewhere near 2 years later. Okay? But you're going to read about them in Matthew chapter 2, and I want to show you an important point here. Verse number 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." We believe the wise men came from Babylon. We believe these wise men were influenced by another man that was in Babylon. It's the same man that Gabriel appeared to back in the book of Daniel, and his name is who? Daniel. Now, Daniel's been dead a long time, but we know that they had the book that Daniel wrote, and so these wise men were counting the years that Daniel left them, and we understand that somewhere at the end of those years, a star appeared. It's called his star. It was the star of the Lord. And they realized that in seeing that star, that Daniel's prophecy had happened, and they realized that the Messiah prince had been born. Daniel's prophecy said that the Messiah prince would be born prophecy said that he would show up in Jerusalem. They didn't have Micah's prophecy that said he was going to be born in Bethlehem, but Daniel said the Messiah prince would come and put his feet and all that in Jerusalem. So the wise men, they knew what the Bible said. Now, I preached on Sunday because most people think that the wise men followed the star all the way from the east to Jerusalem. So if you were in our church on Sunday and you heard me preach, don't answer this question. Most people think that they just did this and they followed the star. Is that true or false?
False.
They didn't follow the star. They followed the Word of God. Matter of fact, they only saw the star one time in the east. They realized what the Word of God had said. They knew to go to Jerusalem. They come to Jerusalem. And then when they're done with Herod, they see the star again. And then the star does take them 5 miles from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. And they're rejoicing exceedingly. That's where they're come. Now pick up in verse number 3. Now when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto them, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets." And here's the prophecy: "Thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." And then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. When you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him." Was that true or a lie?
A lie.
Verse number 9. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and did what, class? Worshipped him. And they opened their treasures and presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so the wise men came to Jerusalem, and then the star took them to Bethlehem, and the star with the sole purpose of wanting to worship the Lord. I don't want to go any further because I'm preaching that this week on Sunday, but they came to worship the Lord. Who, by the way, does Jesus deserve our worship? Yeah, he does. And I hope that you know him, and I hope that you love him. The Bible said that they presented unto him gifts, frankincense, gold, and myrrh. They fell down at his feet and worshiped him, and all of that will be in the story. The Christmas story is important. Somebody tell me, if you have the Christmas story is Jesus' birth, what would be the next story that would relate that we celebrate? He was born to do what? To die. So then the next great holiday that we celebrate is what? Easter. So really Christmas and Easter fit together. Christmas celebrates the what? And the Easter celebrates the what? Resurrection. And so those are important. All right, that's the Christmas story. That's what we celebrate, and not what we celebrate, who we celebrate. So the next time you hear Jesus is the reason for the, you'll know. Thank you for listening so well. Let's pray, and we'll end our time.